burn in daylight.
Okay, we're in Beitza Daf Chafches, and this is all in Yonat Yoma, because it's Yontif now.
Ah.
It's Erev Shvi Shal Pesach, and we're talking about Hilchos Yom Tov, as you'd expect in Masechet Beitza. But we have a fresh Mishnah to start, Daf Chafches, I'm at the very top. This Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we're talking about the permissibility of engaging in certain acts that are the kinds of acts that you might engage in commerce, in the context of commerce, but... and then that's why it might be prohibited. So Rav Yehuda Omer, Rav Yehuda says, Shokel Adam Basar Keneged HaKli, or Keneged HaKupitz. If you want to weigh some meat, right, you're allowed to shecht, and you're allowed to cook on Yontif, you're allowed to eat meat, obviously. You might want to weigh meat on Yontif. So to weigh it in the normal way, where you have a, you know, a kaf mazayin, where you have a scale that has weights on one side and then the item to be weighed on the other side, that would be a problem because it really looks like commerce. It's a maisa chol, as Rashi points out. But what you can do is instead of putting weights on the other side, you can put a kli, like a jar or a dish or something like that, that you know its weight, and then you weigh it against that. Well, can I get a kupitz? Kupitz is some kind of a sakin gadol, a very large meat cleaver, a large knife for cutting meat. So you could use that, if you know its weight, you could use that as the counterweight and then weigh the meat in that way. And then
weighing on
Yontif. Weighing on Yontif. On Yontif. And the Chachamim say, no, that may sound like a good idea, but we're going to prohibit altogether any kind of weighing, even if you weigh it with something as a counterweight that's not typical for use. That's not enough of a distinction. It still looks like a ma'isa chol, or it still is a ma'isa chol. And so the Chachamim say it's not allowed. But the Chachamim, in articulating their position, they said it very emphatically, Ein mashkichem mekaf maznaim kol ikar, at all. So the Gemara immediately says, my kol ikar, why? What are they coming to teach you by saying you're not allowed to use a weight or a scale at all? They could have just said you're not allowed to use a scale on Yontif. What's kolikar? My kolikar. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Shmuel. Afilu l'shamro min ha'achbarim. You can't even use a scale as a method of preserving food from the mice. You might think that that's a good place to put the food so that the mice don't get to it because it's kind of hanging from the ceiling, and however it hangs is a good way to keep it from the mice. But the problem is that, again, that looks like a ma'isa chol, and you're not allowed to touch it at all. You're not allowed to use it at all. Amar Avidi Bar Avin Vu Detalya Betrita Betarita. That's only where it's hanging on the ring from the ceiling, so it is actually effectively acting as a scale. If you just wanted to, it's sitting on a shelf, I guess, and you put the food on that, if that's helpful in preserving it from the keeping it from the mice, so that you're allowed to do. It's only if it's hanging up in the way the scale typically hangs. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel also adds, Tabach Uman, a professional butcher, Asur Lishko Basar Biyad. He can't even weigh meat with his hand. Meaning, if you're a professional butcher, you know instinctively how much the meat weighs. I used to have a friend who said who told me his father worked in a bakery, when he was a kid. So he kind of learned, how to weigh anything with his hand. People who do that can do that. V'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Tabach Uman Asur Lishko Basar B'mayim. Similarly, a professional butcher who might measure volume using displacement theory by having a cup that measures the volume of the water and then putting the meat in it so you could see how much the water goes up and measures it that way. Again, that's also usur because it looks like he's engaging in commerce, weighing and measuring. Vamar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, usur lasos beis yad bebasar. Another similar thing that looks like you're engaging in commerce. You're not allowed to cut a handle in the meat. Apparently the way they used to do it nowadays, we put it in a bag and wrap it up in a bag, but apparently then they would just cut a slit in the meat in a certain way and then you'd be able to grab the meat as if it were a handle. Again, that's something that the professionals do. It's a commercial function, and that's why it's prohibited.
So there's no idea of like shochel nefesh here.
Right, meaning these are the kinds of things that might
don't apply
These are exceptions to the ochel nefesh rule. These are things that, again, you're doing it in the context of eating,
right, but
because they look so much like business-like functions, we prohibit it. Amar Avina, Ravina adds, ubiyad ashari. If you do it haphazardly with your hand, meaning not in a nice way with a knife, but you kind of cut it in a jagged way with your hand, non-professionally, so that's enough of a distinction. It looks like you're just doing it on a one-up basis, so that's okay, and then you could cut that handle in the meat. Amar Rav Huna, mutar laso simen bebasar, you're allowed to make a simen in meat, ki had the rabba bar Rav Huna mechatecho atras karnasa. You're allowed to make a distinctive cut in the meat in a way that identifies it as yours. So I guess there were situations where they were sending the meat in to somewhere, or they needed to safeguard the meat and make people need to identify which cut of meat was theirs. So Rabba Bar Rav Huna, his practice was to cut it, Rashi has a little picture even, in a triangle. And
well,
so
isn't there another Gemara like that?
Yeah, in the triangle K, right.
In Bava
Metzia, is that right? It has to do with Simanim for finding things, right?
It's the same triangle.
The same picture, right. Okay. And then finally the Gemara says, Rav Chiya v'Rav Shimon, Rav Chiya v'Rav Shimon v'Rebbe. Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon, the sons of Rebbe. Both of them were the sons of Rebbe. Shoklin mana keneged mana b'yom tov. So they would say that you're allowed to weigh out a piece of meat using another piece of meat of equivalent weight as the countermeasure on the other side of the scale. Come on. Who are they holding like? Lo k'Rabbi Yehuda v'lo k'Rabbanan. They are neither in accordance with Yehuda or the Rabbanan in our Mishnah. Ik Rabbi Yehuda, if you wanted to suggest that they were in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, Hamar Shokel Adam Baser k'Neged HaKli k'Neged HaKupitz. He said that you're allowed to, in our Mishnah, if you remember, he said you're allowed to measure the meat out using a kli or a cleaver as the countermeasure. K'neged ha'kli in, k'neged midi achrinei lo. So only those things, but to use an actual piece of meat as the countermeasure, that's not going to work according to Rabbi Yehuda. Ik Rabbanan, and according to the Rabbanan, so ha'amrin mashkichim b'kaf m'znaim k'oikar. So he, b'chachamim, say that you can't use a scale altogether. So who were Rav Chiya v'Rav Shimon b'Rebbe holding like when they said that you can use a piece of meat as a countermeasure? In Hudavud k'Rabbi Yoshua. They must have been holding like Rabbi Yoshua. Titania, we have a brisa that says Rabbi Yeshua Omer. Rabbi Yeshua says Shoklin mana keneged mana biyom tov. You're allowed to weigh a piece of meat against another piece of meat using it as the countermeasure on yom tov. Amar of Yosef.
It's interesting that there was like a need for this. Like, what would be the practical?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if you think of it, the local butcher had a whole bunch of meat, and people might not have prepared sufficiently before yontif, or that he's kind of divvying out meat. Or for that matter, they shechted a fresh animal on Yontif, right? And now there's a whole group of people, animal's a big cow, a whole group of people now sharing in the animal, and they all agreed we'll split it up. There's a kiddush, right? So the local butcher says, okay, well, I'll take care of it, and he pulls out his scale, and he starts to divvy out the meat for everyone's meals. You're going to settle up after Yontif. So there's a real concern here that this looks like a business transaction. Yeah. Good. Amar Rav Yosef, halacha k'Rabbi Yoshua. So Rav Yosef says the halacha is like Rabbi Yoshua. How does he know that? Ho'el v'tinan b'b'choros kavaseh. So he says we have a Mishnah in B'choros that's consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua here. Again, Rabbi Yoshua is the one who said that you can use as a countermeasure a piece of meat. D'tinan. Here's the Mishnah in B'choros. P'suei ha'mukdashin. Excuse me. Kadshim that became pasul. So kadshim, meat that was designated, consecrated for hektish, for karbanos, for the Beis HaMikdash, has a certain level of kedusha. You can't just sell it, you can't just eat it, it's got to be dealt with in a specific way. So hana'asan lehektish, if you're podet, if you sell it, the proceeds are going to go to hektish, right? Vishokun mana keneged mana. Vishokun mana keneged mana bibichor. So the Mishnah concludes and says that you can weigh one piece of meat against another, meaning use a piece of meat as the countermeasure for bechor, for meat that was for a bechor. Now bechor, the halacha is that the kohen who owns the bechor is going to get the proceeds, But there are restrictions on how it can be sold, and it can't be sold, as the Rashi explains the larger context of that Mishnah, it can't just be sold on the open market, because that's a bizayon for the Kedusha of the Bechor. It has to be sold, it has to be dealt with in certain ways, but one thing that you're allowed to do is weigh a piece of Bechor with another piece of meat. So we see that even though there might have been restrictions on weighing it and dealing with it in a commercial manner, you are allowed to use as a countermeasure a piece of meat to weigh a piece of Bechor meat. So therefore they want to conclude that if in the context of Hilchos Bechoros,
you can do that,
and it's not considered a bizayon. So too in the context of Hilchos Yom Tov, you can do that. It's not considered a bizayon of Yom Tov. It's not considered doing it in an overly commercial manner. So Amrei Abaye interjects and says, V'dil Malohi. Maybe that comparison is not correct. Ad kan l'kama Rabbi Yeshua hacha el deleka bizayon kadshim. Maybe Rabbi Yeshua only holds that here in the context of Hilchos Yom Tov, he's lenient because there's not bizayon kadshim. Aval hasam dika bizayon kadshim, where we're talking a much more weighty matter, such as kadshim, lo. Maybe there he wouldn't permit it. Inami, ad kango kamri rabbanan hasam, the Mishnah in Bechoros only allows you to do that in the context of the Bechor, el mishum dula mechsek ovdin dechol, because that's not a problem of commerce and appearing as if you're acting in a commercial manner on Yontif, as if it were a chol. Avahach de mechsek uvdin de chol, lo. But here, where there's a real problem of mechsek chol, of it looks like you're acting like a weekday kind of manner, and acting in a commercial manner, it would be a problem. In other words, what this is saying is, one halach has absolutely nothing to do with another. There, the issue is bizayon kachim. Here, the issue is uvda de chol. And just because in one context, the Mishnah said that you can be shokel mana keneged mana, doesn't mean that here you can be shokel mana keneged mana. The standards might be entirely different, and don't draw any conclusion that the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua just based on the Mishnah in Bechoros. But now the Gemara.
We've been talking about Yantiv, wasn't it?
The Bechoros wasn't talking about Yantiv, yeah, exactly. There's nothing to do with anything. There was a reason why you had to treat the meat of the Bechor in an overly respectful manner, and there's a reason why you're not allowed to weigh meat on Yontif, but they're completely different halachos. You can't necessarily compare them. But while we told over the story of Rav Chia and Rav Shimon Berebi, and again, we introduced this whole thing by saying that Rav Chia and Rav Shimon Berebi, the two of them, would take meat and figure out whether they're taking an equivalent amount by weighing it against the other. So the Gemara derives from that. Remember, this suggests the kapti ahadadi. This suggests that they actually cared about whether they were each getting an equivalent amount of meat. But that's difficult. V'hano shav benisa. That's difficult because we know that there was a story involving seven fish that Rebbe had in his possession. Da'asu be Rebbe, that came to the house of Rebbe. V'ishtachi chamesh minayhu. Bei Rav Chia, and five of them were taken by Rav Chia, one of the brothers. Again, these were both sons of Rebbe. So Rebbe acquired seven fish. Five of them ended up in the house of Rebbe Chia. He took them. V'lo kapid Rav Shimon Rebbe, and Rav Shimon Rebbe didn't complain. In other words, we know that generally speaking, these two brothers didn't really care and weren't makbid on another if one of them went into the parents' house and raided the fridge and took some extra meat or extra fish. So this story above, the fact that they were weighing it so carefully one against another, suggests that they did care about each of them sharing equally in the meat coming from their parents' house. Whereas the story of the fish suggests that they didn't care at all. They weren't makbid.
Can't just be one case they were, one case they didn't.
So apparently the Gemara had some tradition that this was their general practice, that they just generally didn't care. They were good brothers and they all got along in that way. So Rav Papa answers up and says, well, maybe you have to mix up the story a little, and it wasn't these two brothers who were splitting up the meat. Shadi Gavra Binayu, throw a different person, when you swap out one of the participants in this story, Rabbi Chiyav, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shun, Rabbi Bar Kafra, maybe it was Rav Shimon bar Barabi, and it wasn't Rav Chiya, it was Bar Kafra, or maybe it was Rav Chiya, but instead of Rav Shimon Barabi, it was Rav Shmuel bar Yossi. Swap out one of the participants, and that's how you can make better sense of the story.
We know that they were mocking one another.
And we know that, well, they weren't brothers, I think. They were just people who were mocked, would have been mockbidden to make sure they got an equivalent amount. Interestingly, the Shari Mitzion and Balacha uses this as a springboard for a discussion about whether you're allowed to take something if you know the person's not going to be machbid, right? So apparently there's a machlokas between the Shach and the Hagos Ashri, or more accurately, the Shach says that it's permissible to take something even without permission if you know 100% this person's not going to be machbid. If I always go to your house for lunch and I always go into the fridge and take a glass of soda, do I have to specifically ask you if I can do that? No, well, you know the general practice is you always let me to do that. But that's against the Hagos Ashri, apparently, who says that, no, you have to actually be, watch out and not to just assume that it's always okay. So he quotes some sefer who says that this is a proof, this Gemara is a proof for the Shach, who says that if you know that the person's not going to be machbid, you can go and take it. The story of the seven fish, where one of the brothers went and took five of the fish without asking the other brother if it was okay. So this is a raya for the Shach, and then he suggests maybe it's not a raya because maybe here there was such a strong practice among them, they had a mutual understanding, so it's not a raya for generally speaking. But it's an interesting discussion.
So they asked their father before they took.
Maybe they asked the father before they took. So it was just more of a practice that they relied upon. Okay, now the Mishnah says another thing having to do with Kavod Yontif. Eimashchizin es hasakin biyom tov. You're not allowed to sharpen a knife on Yontif. Ava mesia al gabi chaverta. It's only if you sharpen it on a sharpening stone that's a problem, but you can sharpen one knife against another. You could use another knife to kind of sharpen the knife. This was obviously relevant not only for cutting meat, but also for shchita, right? Shchita was permissible or is permissible on Yontif, and cutting meat is permissible on Yontif, obviously. And so you might need to sharpen your knife. And this is relevant, as we'll see in a moment, to the topic of machshirei ochel nefesh, meaning you're allowed to do malachos for the purpose of cooking, for food. But the question is, are you allowed to do something one step removed? Are you allowed to do a malacha in order to prepare for cooking? Are you allowed to do a malacha in order to prepare for shchita? So here, sharpening a knife is a malacha. It's masakein mana. You're doing something that would normally ordinarily be usur. But if you're doing it in preparation for shchita or some other food preparation, is that permissible?
I know this is out of the context, but mila, would that be
mila? This issue of sharpening knife comes up in the context of machshirei mila, which is a machlokes as well in Megubar and Shabbos, because mila itself, if it's the eighth day, would be mutter on Shabbos.
Right.
So yeah, this similar discussion comes up
or
there.
Yontif, Josh is making a Yontif also.
Right, I think our practice is not to sharpen the knives on Yontif or on Shabbos. We'll see in a moment how we paskin. Amar Avuna, so Avuna says, Lo shanu elo b'vashchezes shel evin. So we're going to see in the next several lines, the Gemara has a whole bunch of different variations on this distinction he's about to draw. Lo shanu elo b'vashchezes shel evin. This is true, meaning this prohibition of the sharpening a knife is only talking about a stone sharpener, of a mashchezes shel eitz, but a wooden sharpener, which was much less common, much less practical, and therefore much less common, and therefore much less looking like of the dechol mutter. So to sharpen your knife on a wooden sharpener would be okay. Amrav Yehuda Amr Shmuel hada amris shel evin. Hada amris shel evin aser. This member of Rav Huna that it's only aser on a stone sharpener, well, Amran el chadda. That's only talking about sharpening the knife. Avalahavir shamnunisa, but to as a way of cleaning off the grease, the oil. That back then they didn't have detergents, so they would have to use some kind of rough surface,
abrasive
surface, in order to get the oils off of the knife. So, if your only goal is to get the oil off the surface of the knife, So then mutter. Then you're allowed to use even a stone in order to do that. Michal de b'shel eitz. So that the Gemara now derives from that statement. That implies that you can use a wooden sharpener. Afil l'chad da nami mutter. You would even be able to sharpen with a wooden sharpener, right? Ikadamri, we have another tradition, another variation of how this works. Tamasnila seifa, that it's Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel said this on the seifa. Bishel eitz mutter. Where am I? Ikadam Tamasnila seifa bishel eitz mutter. Right, we said that you're allowed. I'm sorry, it's the seifa of Rav Huna. All right, Rav Huna had said again that it's only usher on the stone, but on the wood it's mutter. And then comes along Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel, Hada Amrish Bishol Eitz Mutter, that which we said that it's mutter on wood, well, Amrin Ela Havir Sham Nunisa. That's only to get rid of the grease. Aval Chadda, but in order to sharpen it, usher, it would even be usher on the wood. Michal de Bishol Evan, that implies that on a stone sharpener, Afil Havir Sham Nunisa, it's even prohibited to get rid of the grease. You can't use it at all. It's completely muktzah. Ika demasnila mesnisin. And then there were those who applied Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel's statement as applying to the Mishnah, as a commentary on our Mishnah. Because again, our Mishnah said, Ein mashchizin es hasakin b'yomtov. You're not allowed to sharpen a knife on Yontif. Amar Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel, lo shanu el chadda. That's only prohibiting sharpening a knife. Aval lahavir sham nunisa mutter. But to get rid of the grease, that's permitted. Michlal daba gabe cheverta, that implies that taking the knife and doing it against another knife, afil chad da nami mutter, would even be permitted to sharpen it. That's how we had originally read our Mishnah. That in order to sharpen it, you can use another knife, because again, that's a shinoi, that's not of the dechol, that would be permitted. V'ikad masni la seifa, but then there are those who applied Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel's statement to the seifa. The Mishnah had said that you're allowed to do something with a knife against another knife. That's only true to get rid of the grease. But to sharpen it, aser is aser. Michlal, that implies that when it comes to a stone sharpener, afil havir sham nunisa aser, it would be prohibited even to just get rid of the grease. Fine, that's a whole bunch of
it's like every possible combination
of those two statements. Okay, back on topic. Says the Gemara now, man tana to b'mashchezes aser. Who is this tana of our Mishnah who teaches us that you're not allowed to sharpen a knife on Yom Tov? Why would that be prohibited? Who is it that holds it's prohibited? So I'm Rav Chista delok Rav Yehuda. It must not be Rav Yehuda. Ditnan, because we have a Mishnah that says as follows: Ein bein Yom Tov u'Shabbos el ochel nefesh bovad. Famously, we know that the only difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos with respect to malacha is ochel nefesh. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to do malacha even if it's to prepare food, whereas on Yom Tov, some of the malachos are suspended in order to prepare food. Rabbi Yehuda went a step further. Rabbi Yehuda matir afilu af machshire ochel nefesh. So he permitted even a preparation of a preparation, even such as this, sharpening a knife. So that's why Rav Chista is moved to say that our Mishnah, which said that you can't sharpen a knife on Yontif, must be not in accordance with the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, it must be in accordance with the Shita of the Chachamim, that ochel nefesh, that I'm sorry, machshire ochel nefesh is prohibited. It's not in accordance with Rav Yudus, who will add Makshir Yochel Nefesh. Amroi Rava l'Rav Chista. So Rava said to Rav Chista, Darshina Mishmecha, rumor has it, meaning they darshan in your name, Halachak Rav Yehuda. Rumor has it that you paskin like Rav Yehuda, that Makshir Yochel Nefesh is permitted. So Amroi, so Rav Chista said, that's a big compliment to me. Yehe Rava, it should be his will to call Kihani Mili Malaisa Tidurshun Mishmai, that all great sayings or all great teachings should be said in my name. Meaning, the fact that you're quoting that I say the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, I view that as an accurate, complimentary telling over of what I really hold. And it should be, you know, people should always get it right in that way. People should always say positive things in my name, like that the halacha is Rek Rehuda. Amar Rav Nechemya, Bered Rav Yosef. Rav Nechemya, the son of Rav Yosef, have a... I would come in front of Rava, and I would sharpen, I would rub this knife on a basket. And I said to him, one second, I think he would do that, right? Yeah, so Rava was rubbing his knife against the side of the basket as a way of kind of sharpening it, or it appeared to be sharpening it. And I would say to him, are you Rava sharpening this knife, or are you just doing something lesser than that? You're just rubbing off the oils from the knife. He wanted to learn what the halacha was. Do you actually allow makshir eichel nefesh, right? Are you actually sharpening this? And he said to me, "Lahavir sham nunisa. I'm just rubbing off the oils. V'chazisi l'daitei v'l'chadet ha'kavit. And I really kind of intuited, or I saw, that he really was sharpening it. V'kasavar halacha vein morin kain. And he held...
He's calling his rabbi out.
Yeah, he's calling his rabbi out. He's saying that really, I think he was sharpening it, but he because he held the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda, who says machshir eichel nefesh is mutter, but he said ein morin kain. But he held that you shouldn't teach that halacha. Rashi explains ein morin kain because of the concern that people are going to apply that halacha and allow machshir eichel nefesh even for something that could have been done on erev yontif. The halacha is. Apparently, even Rabbi Yehuda allows machshir eichel nefesh, but only for something which couldn't have properly been done in Erev Yontif. So if the knife,
spices, right? About the spicing.
Yeah, so that has to do with food eichel nefesh itself. There's a limitation on that's correct. That same limitation on eichel nefesh is going to come in a more serious way for machshir eichel nefesh. So Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that machshir eichel nefesh is mutter, is permissible. Even he is going to say that's only allowed for something that you couldn't have done in Erev Yontif. So, for example, if you were using this knife to shecht, and in the course of several shechitas it becomes dull. We'll see in a moment. That's where you're allowed to sharpen it because you couldn't have possibly prepared for that from Erev Yontif. That the only way to do it is on Yontif because it became dull on Yontif.
Is removing the grease from the knife the same method in getting it sharp?
I guess so. It must have been. Or maybe it wasn't. Maybe the fact that, or maybe it was slightly different. That's why he was able to perceive that his Rebbe wasn't really doing it to remove the grease.
It's probably something like you can lightly scrape it to get the grease off.
Yeah.
But if you want to sharpen it, you really
have to put pressure. Yeah.
To put pressure.
Yeah.
So that's why he said he could see perhaps the intention was because he was really working hard.
Yeah, you're able to perceive the difference of what the person's intending to doing. Yeah. Fine. So he says that I think my Rebbe was really sharpening it, but he didn't want to tell me because halacha vein morin kain, because it's a halacha where you don't tell people about it, because again, we're afraid that people darshan, if people teach that you're allowed to do achshir eichel nefesh, they'll even allow you to do it in a situation where you could have prepared for Erev Yontif and you didn't. And then similarly, v'amar abai hava ka'imna kamei demar. I was in front of Mar, v'havaka ma'aver, sakina asfasa derichaya, and he would, he was, you know, moving his knife back and forth on the edge of the mill, v'amri lei, v'chadda kabai maro la'aver sham nunisa, and I asked him, are you sharpening the knife, or are you just wiping the grease off it? V'amri lei, la'aver sham nunisa, and he said to me, I'm just doing it to remove the grease, v'chazisi l'daitei, and I really perceived that he really was doing it to sharpen it because savar halacha vein morin kain, and he really was. He just didn't want to paskin that way because, again, of the concern that if you paskin that way, people conclude you're allowed to do it even for something that you could have done from Erev Yontif.
It's interesting to me. Like, do we ever have a thing like that?
Halacha vein morin kain.
It's permissible in this case. We don't want to teach it.
Yeah, we encountered it yesterday with the shir yesterday. He was talking, what was his name, Rabbi Zuckerman. Rabbi Zuckerman was talking about Tefillin and Chol HaMoed. And it's based on a Zohar. So he, I think, explained that the Radbaz, was it the Radbaz? I think the Radbaz writes that we paskin like, that you can be machmir for a Zohar, but in Morin Kane, just for your own private practice, but you don't teach that.
Right, he put in his tshuva that he would be machmir. He says, "Lots me." But everyone saw that, and they took upon themselves that mean. Well, if he's being machmir, why would I be machmir?
Right.
To put on,
to not, to not put on tefillin. Yeah, yeah.
That's why
you
without me in the other room this morning.
Yeah, no, that's because I came late. That's because I came late. But anyway, fine. So that's there are some instances of halacha in Morin Kane. It is a concept that exists in halacha. It's not very ubiquitous. It's somewhat rare, but this is one of the. Yeah. So it actually, I looked it up. It's pasnish, right? I looked it up. The Shulchan Aruch, actually quotes this halacha, halacha in Morin Kane. That said, and then there's a machlokas rishonim apparently as to whether it's only in the specific context of the knife that it's halacha vein morin kein, but generally speaking, we would paskin, and we would even teach that we paskin publicly that machshir ocha nefesh is mutter, or is it all across the board that in any situation of machshir ocha nefesh in morin kein, we wouldn't tell people to do it, we would just allow it privately to be done. So it has to do with a steer between the mechaber, because in one place the mechaber writes that Machshir Ocho Nefesh is Mutter in accordance with the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And in another place, he writes, Halacha Vein Morin Kein, or maybe it's the Ramah that writes Halacha Vein Morin Kein, I don't remember. And then the Bir Halacha says that I think the Gra points out that one is because I think maybe the Rambam, or I don't know, so one of the Rishonim holds that Halacha Vein Morin Kein is only true in the specific example of the knife, where that's really a concern, that people are not going to sharpen their knife beforehand and sharpen it on Yontif. But that, generally speaking, we hold Machshirei Ochel Nefesh as Mutter, and so that's how you explain that split in the Machaber. Okay, now the Gemara talks a little bit more practically about this, about the knife. Iboy Lahu, they asked, "Mahu Aharo Sakin L'Chacham B'Yom Tov?" Are you allowed to show your knife to a Chacham on Yom Tov? Again, for Hilchos Shechita, it's very important that the knife not have any nicks in it, and so you might bring it to a posek to show and let him run his fingernail, let him really check that it doesn't have any nicks in it. Are you allowed to do that on Yontif? The concern being that if you're going to do that, that's going to lead you to then sharpen the knife, which would be problematic. Rav Mari Yibrei Rav Bizna Shari, so he allowed that. Rabbanan Asri, and the Rabbanan say you're not allowed to, because again, that's going to lead you to sharpen it. Rav Yehuda, Rav Yosef Amar, Tamid Chacham Ro'a La'atzmo, U'mashi'u La'achirim. The fix to this problem, practically speaking, if you need to shecht, and you want to shecht, show your knife to a Talmud Chacham, to a posek, so the problem is if you bring it to the posek, so then it's going to lead you to sharpen the knife. So the correction, the fix to this is just have the Talmud Chacham use his own knife, check it for his own private checking, and then he can lend it out to the Shochet to use that knife. This way the Shochet doesn't have to show it to the Chacham.
Someone
want
to be very careful, because if there's even a nick in it, it would bustle out the
yeah, that's why it's so important that the knife not have any nick.
The other thing was, aren't you supposed to check the knife between each Shlita?
Yeah, so the post can talk about how this impacts, how this halacha impacts on the after. There's halacha that you're supposed to check the knife again after the Shlita.
Right.
Because we're concerned that maybe you might have gotten a nick in the process of Shechita, maybe before the Shechita was finalized, and so there's a minag at least that you check the knife after the Shechita. So I didn't have a time to look into the sources, but I saw they talk about how does this impact that? What are you supposed to do after the Shechita?
That instruction, I don't like to lend out my tools. If I was a Shochet, okay, I don't know if I'd want to lend out my kalchol or something like that to somebody else, because it's going to borrow it on Yontif, not knowing, being the expertise or something like that, you're able to get it back with a problem.
Yeah, but maybe if you get a lot of meat in return, you would do it.
If you were the Shochet to start with, you'd be giving it out.
Yeah. Well, a cow is big, you know, you could share it. Okay, good. Vamar of Yosef, Sakin Sha'amda, Mutru Chadda Biyomtov. So here we're talking about a situation where clearly it was not, here you're not running afoul of that prohibition. of leaving it until Yontif to do. The sake, the knife was sharp before Yontif, but over the process of shechting a number of animals, it now became dull, so that you're allowed to sharpen on Yontif. Vani mili, what's it all? Vani mili, de paska agav duchka. Vani mili, what's going on? That's if it has some sharpness left to it, so that even if pressed, you can get some use out of this knife. So it's not considered a full sharp. If it's so dull that the knife just has no utility left to it, so then sharpening it is like sharpening a knife from scratch. That's a lot of tircha. That's tircha yisera. That's going to be prohibited on yontif. But if it has some utility left to it, it's at least a little sharp. So then we're going to allow you to sharpen it on yontif. If in the process of shchitas it dulled out a little. Darsh Rav Chista Ritamer of Yosef, Echad Sakin Shenifgama, Dechad Shipud Shenirtsam, Dechad Grifas Taner Vikirayim, Biyom Tov. So all these situations, a knife that became nicked, or a shipud, a spit, like a barbecue spit, or a shish kebab kind of skewer. Thank you, a skewer. Shenirtsam. Rashi explains that its head broke off. Something went wrong. The tip of the spit broke off. Or grifas tanur vikiraim, where the inside of the oven started falling apart. The clay that lines the inside of the oven started falling down. You need to do something to fix it, either to sharpen this knife or to fix the spit or to re-patch up the oven. So then, Banu Machogas, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan, this reflects the classical Machogas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan of Machshire Ochel Nefesh, whether you can do preparations for Ochel Nefesh. Detanya, as we have in the Braisa, Ein Ben Yom Tov Shabbos Ochel Nefesh Bovad. As we know, there's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, except Ochel Nefesh is permitted on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yehuda matir af machshire Ochel Nefesh. And Rabbi Yehuda went a step further. He allowed even preparations for Ochel Nefesh. My time at the Tanakhama. So what's the reasoning of the Tanakhama who did not allow machshire Ochel Nefesh? He only allowed Ochel Nefesh itself. Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Hu levado ya'aseh lachem, that you can do it for yourselves, right? You can do cooking on Yom Tov. Who? So the Pasuk says, Hu levado, Hu velo machshirav. That's to teach you it's only specific ochel nefesh, it's only specific ma'acha for direct preparation of food. That's what's permissible, but not machshirav, not preparation for that, not anything a step removed. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Kra, lachem. So he says, no, there's a riboy, because it says at the end of the pasuk, Hu levado ya'aseh lachem, for you, that's an extra word, lachem l'chol tzarcheichem, to teach you that you could do it for anything in a much more expanded way. You could do it even in a step removed, even machshirim, even preparation. So the Gemara then says, v'tanakama uksiv lachem, what's the Tanakama going to do with this riboy, with this extra word of lachem, which Rabbi Yehuda learns to allow you to do achshir yachon nefesh? That's to teach you, says the Chachamim, that you can only do Ochel Nefesh for your own purposes, but not to prepare food for a Gentile. And what are the Chachamim going to do with the who?
Not the Machshirim.
Right, exactly. That only who, only the actual things, but not the Machshirim. What are the Chachamim going to do about? Amar Lecha Ksiv Hu Uksiv Lachem. So we have a riboy and a miyot, right? One thing is saying that you can do more, one thing is saying you could do less. V'lokasha kan b'machshirin she'efshar la'asoso me'erav yom tov. Rabbi Yehuda is going to explain that this means that you're only allowed to, the ability to do machshiri ochel nefesh, preparations for ochel nefesh, is limited only for things that things that you could have done from erav yom tov. So those things you're not allowed to do on yom tov, even those machshirim. And the other, the miyot, is to teach you the riboy, the things that you're allowed to do, is things that you couldn't have done from Erev Yom Tov. That's where Rabbi Yehuda permits you to do preparations where you couldn't have done it from Erev Yom Tov. But Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow you to do preparations that you could have done from Erev Yom Tov. Amar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Shipud Shenirtsaf, Aser Utakno B'Yom Tov. You're not allowed to, says Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel, you're not allowed to fix a spit that was nirtzaf, That's the same word we have above, right? No, before it was nirtsam, nirz nirtsaf, is the same thing. This is a... Oh, okay. That it became bent, Rashi explains. It became, it got crushed and became bent, but it didn't actually break, so that you're not allowed to fix on Yontif. So the Gemara is, and the reason is because it's, because you could use it as it is. Meaning above we said you're allowed to fix it where the thing broke off because it's unusable unless you fix it. Here it's just a little bent, so you can use this spit while it's still bent. So it's not a necessary fix, and therefore it's a tircha d'lo tzarechu, Rashi explains, and so therefore you're not allowed to do this on yantif. So the Gemara says, pshita, that's obvious. If fixing it is not going to help you in any real way, it shouldn't be allowed. Why should you? Why would you ever think that you're allowed to do it? Well, tzricha da'afagav d'mafshit b'yadei. The Gemara says that the reason Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel had to tell you this is because you might think that since it requires very little effort to do this, you could just bend it back with your hand. You don't need a whole hammer. You don't need to do any, you know, fancy blacksmithing here. You could just bend it back with your hand, that it might be permissible. Comes along the Gemara and tells you that you're not allowed to do it because, again, it's not necessary in order to prepare the food. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Shipud Shetzalu Bo Basar Aser L'Taltalo B'Yom Tov. So he says now that a spit that was already used to roast the meat, you're not allowed to move it on yantif. It's already now nimas, Rashi explains, it's you know, dirty, and it doesn't have any further use. You're not going to use it again. It's all greasy and dirty, so therefore you shouldn't use it on yantif. Amar of Malachov, Amar of Adabarava, Shomto, that they change the gears on the box, changes the gears and reverses it. So it's Amar of Malachav, Amar of Adabarava, Shomto Umanicho Bekeren Zavis. So he says you should use tiltulman outside. You should kind of indirectly push it over to the side, and then that's okay. That's how you get rid of it. Fine. Now, once we're mentioning Rav Malachov, you may never have heard of Rav Malachov. It's because he says very few things in Shas. And so the Gemara now is going to recount the situations where we hear from Rav Malachov, where he paskins something in Shas. Amar Avchia Bar Ashi, Amar Av Huna, Vush... Oh, no, first he says, Vush Yeshlov Kazayis Basar. You can only move it if it has a Kazayis Basar, because then it has some use. Ravina Amar Afal Pishenu Av Basar Mutru Otaltulo. So Ravina says it doesn't even need to have a little basar on it. Even if it's completely devoid of basar, it's absolutely unusable, you're still allowed to move it because it's similar to a dangerous thing in Rosh Hasharab. The halacha is that even though, let's say for example, some kind of spike, you know, a metal dangerous thing is usher to move, but if you see it on a public thoroughfare and you're afraid that people are going to get hurt, you're allowed to move it, dawad amas by dawad amas, you're allowed to kind of just kick it off to the side. And the laws of muksa are suspended because it's not safe for this thing to be in the public space. And so the same thing is true with this used spit. If you leave this used spit hanging around, the children are going to play with it, people are going to get hurt. So it's okay to push it over to the side, even if it doesn't have any meat on it. Okay. So here's the thing now with Rav Malachov. Am Rav Chinana Bered Rav Ika. Shipud Shvachos Vigumos Rav Malachov. Bluris afermakla ugvina Rav Malachia. So apparently there were two people, Amorim, Rav Malachov and Rav Malachia. They have very similar names, and so Chazal wanted us to remember which shitos each of them held, which you might get confused because their names are so similar. And so here's where we teach you that Rav Malachov taught us the halacha of shipud. That's the halacha that we just said, that you're allowed to move the shipud even after it's used. Shvachos, the halacha that if a man marries a woman, even if she brings into the marriage, she's very wealthy, and she brings into the marriage many servants who can do all sorts of work, it's the husband's prerogative to assign some work to the wife herself, because otherwise she's going to get involved in, you know, in stuff she shouldn't be involved in. Habatala mevioi de zima. If people have nothing to do, they're going to get into trouble. And so therefore, it's husband's prerogative to tell her to, you know, get a job or to do some kind of work in order to keep her out of trouble. Vegumos.
Must go well.
Yeah. The vegumos. Yeah, you have to understand the economic situation in terms of these shvachos. But anyway, and gumos is the halacha that in terms of shtei saros. So we know in terms of determining the maturity of a young woman or a young man for that matter, for purposes of chalitza, only a gadol can do chalitza, and maturity is determined by shtei saros, a sign of physical maturity. And so gumos is the halacha that if you see in that makom gumos, holes, so then the assumption is that there can't be a hole there, unless the hair follicle would have been there, and so there the hole itself is a sign of maturity. It can be counted as one of the shtei saros, as a sign of maturity. So that's Rav Malachov's three halachos, and then Rav Malachi's three halachos are bluris afermako and gvina. Bluris is this halacha that if you are giving a haircut to a Gentile who might be an Oved Avodah Zarah, and one specific type of Avodah Zarah, they would grow their hair in a specific manner near the payas in a specific area. That was called bluris. So you, as the barber, should stay, I think it says, three atzpos away, a certain amount of room away. You don't want to be seen as tinkering with their hair in a way that's going to make it nicer for their Avodah Zarah. So cut the rest of their head, but don't touch the bluris. That's that one of the halachas of Rav Malachia. Afar Makwa.
You can still give him a haircut.
You could still give him a haircut, just stay away from the Avodah Zarah part, from the bluris. Don't tinker with that.
Don't touch the payas.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of the non-Jewish barber touching our payas, right? You got to be careful there. Afar Makwa is in Maseches Makos, where it says that you should not put ashes on a wound. I guess that seems like a terrible idea nowadays, but one of the days they would treat wounds was to put ashes on it because it looks like you're giving a tattoo. And so that's something that's prohibited. That's another of Rav Malachia's halachos. And gvina, the fact that the Mishnah Avodah Zarah prohibits gvina sakum, cheese of a non-Jew, so Rav Malachia says it's because the non-Jews would spread pig fat on the outside of the gvina. That's why it's prohibited for us to eat that gvina. No, I don't think this is the rennet that was used to manufacture it. I think this was used just to
look shiny.
To shine the outside of the gvina, yeah. So that's the third of Malachia's halachos. Rav Papa Amar Masnisin Masnisa Rav Malachia Shmaisa Rav Malachav. So he would switch this up a little bit. Some of the members that we just quoted are Mishnayos and Brises, and some of them are members of a Gemara. If you go back, you could see that. Here, I wrote it down here. The Shipud is, whatever. Two of the three of Malachav's halachos were, we'll see in a second how this all works out. So he, Rav Papa, divvied it up a little bit more, and a little differently, and he said things that come from or that are commentaries on Mishnayos belong to Rav Malachia. Those were his members, and Shmaitzes, members of the Gemara, were Rav Malachav's. The Simanach Masnisin Malchusa, and the way to remember that, if you were looking for a mnemonic, is Masnisin Malchusa. So if it's related to a Mishnah, then it must be a halacha related that Rav Malachia stated. My Benayu, and what's the difference between the two countings here, either Rav Papa or I guess it was Rav Chinna Brev. The Gemara, well, the original account of the Gemara and Rav Papa is Shifchos. Shifchos was the only one that switches categories based on whether you count it in the original counting or whether you divvy it up based on Mishnah Gemara. Okay. Good Erev Yontif to everyone. Sure. Yeah.